Desire y'all's prayers this morning. I appreciate that song. God still delivers. The same God of love that created this earth, created the plan for salvation, for redemption, put it into action, carried it out, he's still delivering today. But I want us to think about God's love. So I had something happen to me this week. I'm sure many of you all have enjoyed traffic as much as I potentially do. And the idiosyncrasies that go along with the random humans you run into in traffic. And I was driving into Baton Rouge, and it seems like this past week had been a little more trying. Seems like everything but Friday there was an accident going in to work. Then Friday, they had a really big accident. I had to end up driving clear up down 3A Meet to get back home just about. But going in, I was off on some of the side roads and coming up to a traffic circle. And as I came into the traffic circle, this car just cut right in front of me. And then while they were doing that, a school bus literally took the opportunity to pull in front, like in the path of that I was going. And it irritated me. I got a little grumpy. 2 miles down the road, I'm still grumpy. I had been sitting there stewing. You know, that bus driver is a professional bus driver. They should know better than that. The bus was tinted. I couldn't see if there were kids on the bus. I'm like, you know, what if the children would have gotten hurt? And I was just sitting there stewing myself up and starting to debate. You know, I've got the bus number. I could call the school board. I could tell them what a bad driver that bus driver is. I could fix this person. I could get them to where they would be corrected the way they needed to be corrected. You know, they shouldn't be driving like that. And I felt like the good Lord reached down and he said, you know something? I don't see my love anywhere in any of that. And it pulled me up short. You know, there was nothing wrong necessarily with what I was feeling. Bus drivers should be responsible to their children. They should be responsible drivers. And I felt like the Lord pointed back to me, you know what you had to do to avoid that accident? You just had to apply your brakes. That was it. Just push your brakes. You didn't have to slam them. There was no squealing tires, no sliding sideways. All you had to do was just push your brakes and make room. Was it really that bad? That here I am 2 miles down the road, I'm stewing, I'm upset. And looking back, I got to thinking, why was I upset? Was it because I really cared that much about the children's welfare on that bus? Or was it because I had been inconvenienced? The Lord pointed out to me, he goes, you know what? My love is supposed to be inside of you. And he pretty much told me, I don't see it right now. So with that, I would like to start off in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. It says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. I felt like the Lord was letting me know that love that God is, it should dwell in me. But here I had just exhibited, I didn't have any of that love dwelling in me at that time. I had allowed me to fully take over that. Also, if we go up to verse 8 in the same chapter, 1 John 4, verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And I was challenged by these thoughts the Lord started sharing with me. Did I know God? I claim I do. It's a fearful thing for me to stand up here and preach if I don't know God. You know? So I felt really challenged by what the Lord was saying. That am I truly aware of who He is? Am I truly letting His love into my life? I want us to flip over to Mark. Mark chapter 12. Chapter 12 and starting in verse 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. I've been pondering on this, the two greatest commandments. Does either one of them talk about how much we need to line the world up? How much we need to straighten the world out? How much we need to correct them, to discipline them, to let them know they are just way out of line? Wouldn't that be some of the greatest commandments, just straighten everybody out? You know, that's not in the commandments. And that second one, and the second is like, namely this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Who is our neighbor? We have all heard that question asked of the Lord before. Who is our neighbor? Is our neighbor the people sitting here just in this church? And after that, we don't have to worry about those people because they're not really our neighbors? Is our neighbors just the people that truly live on the address left and right of us on our street? Is that just our neighbors? Didn't the example the Lord gave us said that the neighbor was anybody you run into, whether you knew them or not, whether they were of your same ethnic group or not, whether they were of your same belief, persuasion? Because didn't he use a Samaritan in his example, helping a Jew out as who a neighbor was? So I've been challenged by this. Do we love those people like ourselves? You know, you see the homeless person panhandling. Do you love that person like yourself? Or do you reserve a part of yourself to pass judgment on that person and say, you know what? You could do better. What about the convicts, the criminals? Do you love them like yourself? Do you care for them the same way you care for yourself? Do you wish the best for them the same way you wish the best for yourself? Or do you think sometimes, you know what? I hope you get caught and spend the rest of your life in jail because you deserve it. If you were a criminal, would that be the way you thought about yourself? Or would you hope you never get caught so you don't have to spend the rest of your life in jail? I would like to challenge us. Romans 5 and 5. Romans 5 and 5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Jesus, when he came down, who did he come down for? When he came to walk this planet Earth, did he just come to walk this planet Earth for the people that were walking uprightly? For the people that were following his will, that was doing his way? Was that the love Jesus came down to show? It was like, I'm coming down here, I'm going to set up my earthly kingdom, I'm going to pull all the people following all the rules in, we're going to come into this big happy kingdom, the rest of you all, you can just leave and go away? Or did he say, you know what, I'm wanting to have a really big kingdom. I want everybody to be a part of it. I want the criminals to be a part of it. I want the drug addicts to be a part of it. I want the hateful, spiteful, mean, backbiting people to be a part of it. Can you name any class of people that he said he was not going to allow into heaven if they would work with him? Because what Jesus said is, I love every one of you enough that I'm going to try to make a way for you to fix your flaws so you can be part of my kingdom. So that you don't have to be excluded. You don't have to be outside. And so here we see that the love of God comes into us from the Holy Spirit. And I felt checked the other morning because I felt like the Lord let me know I hadn't backslidden, but I hadn't kept the Holy Spirit in my life the way I should have. How many of us driving down the road think it's unreasonable to have to put on your brakes to avoid an accident? That's just totally unacceptable. Most of us would be like, no, that's totally reasonable. Why wouldn't you put on your brakes to avoid an accident? You realize that's what I got grumpy over? Shame on me. And the Lord called me out. But you know, where was the love for that bus driver that maybe was running late trying to get somewhere? The other person that zipped in front of me while it startled me, I wouldn't have even had to hit the brakes to dodge them. They went across so fast, it didn't matter. There was no harm in what they did. The harm came in how I started trying to reason and reckon and make myself feel better, justify my feelings by going down into, they know the law. They know what they should or shouldn't do. Why are they doing that? That guy, he clearly shows a yield sign there, and here I am. He should have stopped. He was able to make it safely out into the intersection without me hitting him. Isn't that what yield's all about? You don't have to stop if you can safely enter the intersection. I knew he had a yield sign. I knew he might be going, and guess what? I was prepared to hit the brakes because I did. Everybody was doing everything right. Just my attitude was wrong that morning. I want us to flip on over to John 13. John chapter 13, look at verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. What kind of love did Christ show us? What kind of love did he show his disciples? Did he call them because they were his disciples? Did he say, hey, come with me because you're already following me, you're already where I need you? Or did he say, you know what? You're fishing for fish right now. I'd like to make you fishers of men. Would you follow me? Hey, you're collecting taxes and probably potentially collecting more than your share, although it was legal under Roman law. Under Roman law, the tax collector was given the legality to collect tax money. And if he could collect more than what the government was owed, he got to keep it. And it was legal. That's how he made his money. You know, one of his disciples was a tax collector? You ever thought about that? And yet, that was one of the people Jesus personally invited into his inner circle. And did he invite him into his inner circle with conditions, if you will? You can come follow me if. We just said, come follow me. I'm giving you a choice. You can keep doing that or you can come follow me. Well, okay, I'll follow you. Do you think that person fully understood what they were going to be doing when they followed Christ? And we have record that as Christ's disciple follow him, they didn't fully understand everything. There were things that he told them, you won't understand until I leave and the Spirit comes back and you'll fully understand. But I would challenge us there. You know, love one another as I have loved you. Because that's how men are going to know that you're my disciples. If you have love one to another. Now I'm going to pause here for a little bit. That love one to another, once again, does that mean that we just are a loving group of Christians? That if any of our brothers are in need, we're willing to give them the shirt off our back and help them out. But the guy down the street, it's okay to ignore him? Is that what Christ means? Love even as I have shown you love? Do you know, though, that it's easy for us to adopt that mindset? To say, you know what, you don't look like me. You don't act like me. You don't follow the right rules. There's things you do that I know is totally out of line. And you know what? I will tolerate you, but I'm not going to get close to you. I'm going to keep a distance there. How much of a distance did God keep from the sinners? He sent His Son to die for them. Sent His Son to say, okay, you're here on planet Earth, and you've messed up to the point that you can never pay your debt off. And I'm going to send my Son down to pay the debt you can't pay. He's going to die for you. He's going to be the holy sacrifice so you can be one of my children. You can inherit part of this righteous kingdom right along with my Son. The man on the cross that defended Jesus. What kind of life did he have on earth, as far as we can tell, that qualified him for heaven? What good did he have? Had he done a lot of good in his life? We don't have any record of it. What we do have record of is him telling the other guy, look, why are you railing on this man? We are here justly. We are here because we have lived a life that demands this. He has it. Leave him alone. And what was Jesus' response to that man? When the man said, Lord, remember me. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Where was the judgment? You know, there was judgment, if you will. But the judgment was one of grace. One of looking on the heart and said, you're truly repentant. You truly mean it, and I love you. And because of that, I'm going to let my love go out to you. I'm going to pass judgment that you truly are worthy to come into the kingdom. Even though, in your life, you never apparently ever lifted a finger to do anything for me. But at the last minute, that person made it in. How great of love does God have? Do we have that love in our hearts for our fellow man? Dare I say, for the people sitting in the pews with us? Or do we let little things come up? Little things stir us. Little things build the root of bitterness that troubles you? Something where you're starting to say, you know, I just don't like the way they did that. I'm going to pick on something. I hope this doesn't apply to folks in the congregation, but a friend of mine, his family's Catholic, or were Catholic. They're going to a Baptist church in Baton Rouge now. But they used to talk about, they would try to get to church early so they could get a good pew. And there were people that felt like they had the right to sit in certain pews. They'd been sitting there their whole lives. And if you crossed the wrong person, they'd let you know. You took my spot. Little things. Why did the person, I mean, they wanted to get there so they could sit up front, they could listen, they could see, they wanted their children to be able to see. But they also knew, well, I'm not going to sit in that person's seat. Why? Because it's going to cause a problem. That person won't understand that that's not their assigned seat. We have to be careful with what do we have in the love for our hearts, in our hearts for love. I want to go to Matthew 5. Matthew 5, chapter 5, starting in verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. We see here, it being called out. Does the God in heaven, not even Jesus now, just backing up to God, does the God in heaven only love the Christians, those that are saved, his people? No. It says he puts the rain down on everybody. Why? Because he loves them. He's not destroyed the earth. Why? Because he loves them. He wants to save them. God is not a God of hatred. We sometimes hear people act like that because they're like, well, I don't see how God could send me to hell. He's not. He's given you a choice and you're choosing to go there. I heard it said once that God's going to respect your choice so thoroughly that he's not going to send you to some place you don't want to go. So if you don't want to go to heaven, he won't send you there. He's going to respect your choice. You chose hell. He didn't. He wanted to save you. The Bible says it's not in his will that any man perish. That is not what he wants. If you find yourself in hell, you chose that. And he just respected your choice. It wasn't through hatred. In fact, it grieves him. But looking at this section of verses here, love your enemies. Any of y'all feel like you got enemies, people that have something out against you? You got to love them. Bless them that curse you. I think of David and the one time when he was leaving the kingdom, and I forget the gentleman's name, but he was cursing David and throwing rocks. And some of David's soldiers said, we're going to go kill him. David said, no, don't. You don't know if God has appointed this man to curse me right now. Don't touch him. This may be of God. Do good to them that hate you. You know somebody absolutely has it out for you? Go buy them a random gift. Do good to them. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So, in our world today, it's easy to see people segmented along different lines. I read something in the newspapers just this week, I think it was. 2 years ago, a young man had been involved in, I think it was a gang shooting. Anyhow, he'd been shot, ended up in the hospital. He came out of the hospital, got into a program that combines boxing with mentorship to kind of give young men in this rough neighborhood a set of disciplines, help them work on disciplines, give them mentors to help try to keep them off the streets, get them to living a good life. It's actually ran by a white lady. I don't remember her name. But in this story that actually transpired this week, 2 years ago, one of the young men, he had dreadlocks and all that, and he decided he wanted to clean himself up, to change the way he was living. So he asked this lady that founded this program to cut his dreadlocks off, to help give him a short haircut, decent haircut. And it was posted up on a website. And she said, you know, another example of one of these young men changing his life. That was 2 years ago. This week, somebody picked it up who has what I'm going to call very defined feelings of who's in their group, outside of their group. And they made a comment about why did it have to be him cutting off that hair to make a change in his life. And they started turning this into something like this woman is doing something evil and just totally doesn't understand this young man. And they did not realize the young man had asked the woman to cut his hair. She had not asked him to do it. It wasn't even her idea. He had said, I want you to cut my hair because I respect the program you've started. I'm trying to turn my life around. And it would mean a lot to me for you to be there. Partly because when he woke up from his coma after having been shot, she was the first person there checking on him. She cared for this young man. She had a love for him that he doesn't see in a lot of the community. And this person that started a little bit of a firestorm with it, because their post was picked up and a few other people went, and then the young man stepped out and said, wait a minute, hold on, you guys do not know the story. You're trying to make it out like this is a racial thing motivated, but it's not. I asked her to cut my hair, and let me tell you why. It has nothing to do with what you're talking about. You know what? There's a lack of love in hearts that don't want to go find the real stories behind things. Do we sometimes just take the surface and say, this is what I think is happening, And because this is what I think is happening, it must be true, and therefore that's the way I'm going to operate. I've actually seen instances where somebody's had a rough day. So they're just withdrawn. They're not talking to people. Somebody else says hi to them earlier in the day, and they didn't respond. And of course, they don't talk the rest of the day because they're having a really rough day, totally not related to work. But before that day is over with, one person's just certain that person that's not talking is mad at me because I told her hi and she didn't say nothing. She hasn't talked to me all day. I don't know what her problem is, but I can tell you what I'm going to do. I'll just not talk to her back. And so they don't. No going to that person and say, you know what, you normally say hi to me in the morning. Is everything all right? Are you okay? If we're a Christian, is there anything that I can maybe bring to the Lord in prayer for you? Because you're not yourself. You're not the person I know. But you know what? If you don't have the love of God, you're not going to be concerned about them, are you? You're going to be concerned about who? Just like me. Earlier this week, who was I concerned with when that traffic fiasco went down? Was I truly concerned about everybody else? No. It was the great big old me. That was my concern. We can get so wrapped up in ourselves that we walk right past the help the Lord would have us do with other people. I want to go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I wanted us to kind of stop on this verse and think about what this is saying. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Has it ever crossed your mind that when we get to heaven, it's going to be so unimaginably more than anything we've ever thought? We can't even comprehend it. God can't even break it down into human language for us. We can't visualize it in our mind's eye. We just can't wrap our head around it. Do we think about doing things like that to those around us that are poor and unfortunate and hurting? Do we think such grandiose thoughts towards them that you look at somebody and say, I would love to do something that's just so beyond anything they would ever expect anybody to ever do? I want to do that for them. I want to just absolutely show them love beyond anything they can even think of. Is that in our hearts? That's in God's heart. That's why we're here today. It's because he's saying, that's what I've got for you folks. If you're willing to come check it out, I've got things beyond anything you can ever imagine. He loves us that much. And he's hoping we love the rest of the world as much as he loves us. That we'll show the rest of the world what little bit of love we've got from him here. He wants us to pass it on. Or instead, are we one of those people that instead you hear somebody say something along the lines of, oh Jesus, are these thy Christians, these passionate, malicious, spiteful, and ill-natured people? You know, you can be saved and you can be living to the rules. But as we saw in the two greatest commandments, the rules are done because you love God. And if you're walking past the love of God, those rules don't mean anything. Y'all pray for me.